good to be with you today. This is Andrew Phipps, and I always appreciate your taking time to be with us for the Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast. I hope today's program indeed will be a help. Perhaps it will inspire and help to illuminate and be informative, and most of all, I hope we can speak truth to error. Just recently at our home church, at Liberty Baptist Church, where it's my membership in Muncie, Indiana, I did a little message that I think we cut it into two parts. We'll share part one today and part two in the next program. But I got to thinking about how in the book of John, the Lord asked the Apostle Peter, "How much do you love me?" And he asked him three times. I suppose that has something to do with the fact that Peter denied the Lord three times before the crucifixion. And the Apostle Peter embodies many of the characteristics of humanity that we all share. I mean, he could be impetuous. He could be sometimes antagonistic, like when he took the sword and he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant's ear. And he was also a fellow that would do things, and then sometimes he would show great faith. And today, I want to share a little bit of that message with you on how much do we really love the Lord. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter 21, St. John, chapter 21. Starting with verse 15 tonight, and let me just read the scriptures. The Bible said, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is this to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the word itself, the world itself, could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The book of John, is an interesting book. I've been studying the book of John some. John refers to himself always in the third person. He doesn't say it was me. He says the disciple that Jesus loved, or the disciple that leaned on his breast. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the synoptic gospels. Synoptic gospels. That means they wrote from their perspective, three different ones, but they all kind of reported the same things. John is different. John does not record some of the things, and yet add some things that perhaps the other three did not mention. John says that he had perfect understanding, that he was given some wonderful assignments. We not only have John in the gospel, but we have 1st, 2nd, and little 3rd John, and then of course the book of the Revelation. As far as we know, John is the only disciple that did not die a martyr's death. We don't know how old he was necessarily, but the last record that we have of John is that he is in the Isle of Patmos. These other disciples all died by the sword, or Peter was crucified upside down. That's what the Lord's talking to him about here. Notice that previously, it seemed like that Peter and John were a part of that inner circle. They were part of the group that seemingly moved up closer in the garden when they prayed. Peter, James, and John went to pray. The Lord came back on one occasion and found them asleep and said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Now, these are the same disciples that could fish all night, but it was hard for them to stay awake even when the Lord was before his crucifixion. The Lord here calls him Simon Peter. Simon is his old name, the fleshly name. Peter is the name that the Lord gave him. Cephas, meaning little rock. The Lord said, upon this rock, wasn't Peter, but himself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Of all of the disciples, Peter seems to be very interesting. He's the one that when the Lord was put in the new tomb, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had come when they buried him. Peter is the one that, although John outran him to the tomb, Peter is the one that went inside. The Apostle Peter seemed to have the vicissitudes, a big word there, of the changes in his outlook or demeanor. At times he could be very vocal. He's the one that took a sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servants here. Somebody said he wasn't going for his ear, he was actually going for his neck. Peter is the same one that denies the Lord, and the Lord told him, said, before the cock shall crow, thou wilt deny me thrice. Peter vehemently said, oh no, I'll go with you to the death. And it was Peter that, after the cock did crow, that went out and wept bitterly. There's some things that we have in common with him. And the Lord asked him here on three different times, do you love me? Do you think it might have anything to do with the fact that he denied him three times? Now, in confirmation, he's wanting to know, how much do you love me? Sometimes I don't know about you all, but Charlene and I'll tell her sometime, I said, I love you. And I said, I love you the most. She said, no, I love you more. And here we are like two people dating, like we're still going out to get a Coke at the North Star with a pretzel on a straw and drive around that place 15 times like we used to do. I guess we still tell each other a lot that we're either in love or we're the best liars that have ever lived in Delaware County. Now, it's one thing to say things. Peter represents humanity. Peter is the one that he wanted to walk on water. My Uncle Willie Bell, one time, there was an old preacher by the name of Gobe Steele. He had a speech defect. And Uncle Willie would go to church before he was converted, and he would imitate him. He would mock him. And Gobe had preached a message about Peter and the water, and Uncle Willie said if Peter could walk on the water, so could he. Well, a crowd gathered up down there in the South Fork, and Uncle Willie, he tried walking on the water. Now, I'll not tell you what he said, but we all in the family can remember or tell it exactly what Uncle Willie said. Uncle Willie was very graphic in what he said about the Apostle Peter. But my point is, it was Peter that got out of the boat. Somebody said, well, he didn't. Yes, he walked on the water. I don't know how far he went. I don't know how many feet or yards, but he walked. It wasn't until he began to look at the waves. Sometimes the circumstances of life seem overwhelming, don't they? Sometimes we just think, oh my, how in the world are we going to get through this? We've all experienced things, and if you haven't, you may sometime or other, and you think, boy, what is God doing for me here? I think that good singing helps us all, and over the years, since 1974, I have been friends with the Inspirations Quartet. Well, a new group, they call them the Young Inspirations, are following the tradition of Martin Cook and the Originals, and they sing the songs and present the songs and articulate the songs and do it in the manner of the Originals. It's amazing. The sound is reminiscent and just almost totally like the sound of the original group. And they live basically in the Bryson City, North Carolina area. And although the present group doesn't live there, they still carry on the banner. They carry on the name, the Young Inspirations. And I like the sincerity. I like the way they deliver a song, how it's enunciated. You can hear every word. They do not overpower the vocals with music. And I think that's very important, that we are able to get the message. And so we're going to present the Young Inspirations today on a song that simply says, He Made a Way.
There've been times that I've been back up to the wall. There've been times it seemed I would surely fall. When it seemed that there was no escape at all, He made a way for me.
He made a way.
Just like old Daniel in the hungry lion's den.
My God delivered
me just like He did him.
He made a way.
Just like old Moses standing there beside the sea.
He made a way
for me. Now I know there are times when the road will get rough, and all of us feel like at times giving up. But remember, my friend, He knows when we've had enough, and He'll make a way for me.
He made a way.
Just like old Daniel in the hungry lion's den.
My God delivered me
just like He did him.
He made a way.
Just like old Moses standing there beside the sea.
He made a way
for me.
He made a way.
He made a way.
Just like He did.
He made a way.
standing
there beside the sea.
He made a way
for me. He made a way.
The sea.
He made a way for me. He made a way.
Just like old Daniel in the hungry lion's den.
He made a way.
My God delivered me just like he did him.
He made a
just
way.
Just like old Moses standing
there beside the sea.
He made a way.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Fame, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. Recently, I was up in Lynchburg, Virginia, at the Liberty College, where Jerry Falwell was the former pastor of the Thomas Road Baptist Church. And then he started a school there in Lynchburg area. And today that school encompasses, I think, maybe 7,000 acres. And it's like a town within that area into itself, and every building is immaculate. Everything is done first class. And many times when we show videos of people, you know, we can always find folks and maybe think it ourselves that maybe made some decisions with which we don't always agree, but you still have to recognize the impact that Liberty University made, as they called it, making champions for Christ. And Jerry Falwell took on the ACLU in the early 1970s. He made a difference in the election of 1980 by getting a lot of the liberals out of the Senate, U.S. Senate, and he was a remarkable person. It's amazing that one individual could start something and it be so mammoth, so large today. And they have students there, I believe, online, and those that attend the classes, maybe around 7,500 total people, the residences and the where the dormitories. And like I said, every building is clean, neat. All the students there that I met are very courteous. They reflect a Christian orientation. And so I wanted to show a little clip today of an excerpt from Jerry Falwell back in the early to mid-70s when he would be on television. And let's go to that right now.
Throwing God off successfully with the help of the federal court system, throwing God out of the public square, out of the schools. The abortionists have got to bear some burden for this, because God will not be mocked. And when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
Thank you.
free society, it is a prerequisite for that government that rules in that society to be truthful to the people. I think our founding fathers, to the best of their ability, wanted our foundations, our framework of government, to be truthful. That's why they embodied so many Christian principles, references, utterances, and, of course, acknowledgement of Scripture in so much of the details as they outline the government under which we would operate. Joseph Goebbels was a propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler. He said something I think we should try to remember. He said, "A lie told once remains a lie, but a lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth." And that's unfortunate that even today we have to be so careful about where we get our information. It's obvious that many of the mainstream media, they call it, seemingly are not cognizant or don't recognize truth as being an essential part. Sometimes they just fail to report what would be beneficial. Sometimes they just try to hide the information. Or if they do comment upon it, sometimes it becomes disinformation. I think that's horrible. We, the citizens, demand the right to have truth, whether it's in our judicial or court proceedings, our constitutional rights, what we as citizens should be able to expect from government. And when we have district attorneys and different ones that get a political agenda, that want to do things not because it's right, but because it serves the end, it becomes the narrative under which they operate, that is unfortunate to a representative and a government that the citizens should have every right to know what is going on. Now, I know that throughout the history of our country, we've had information that, like the turn of the 1900s, when they had the what they call the yellow press, where journalists would inflame or excite the details and maybe get people in a war mood, like the Spanish-American War. But when I was growing up, we just reasonably expected that everybody was patriotic, that everybody at least recognized our Christian faith as a model. Everybody seemed to think that Christian values were essential, and most people felt like that the police and the people in authority ought to have the power to do their jobs correctly under law. And we felt like that the law was paramount, that rather than the individual. And we felt like that we were a nation of laws and not of men. I think today as citizens, our pastors and those that believe as I do, we need to be educating our people, doing everything that we can do to share, first of all, the gospel. Tell people about the importance of knowing Christ as our Savior. Secondly, I think we need to embrace and tell about the Scriptures. We need to talk about standards. We need to talk about service. And we need to talk about just simply being good people. So I hope today that in our Faith, Family, and Freedom broadcast, maybe we've said something that has challenged you. If you like this kind of program, I hope you would tell others about it. We would be delighted maybe at some point in time to come to your area if our schedule would permit it. We go to fundamental churches whenever we can, and whether it's a small church or a larger one. And again, we live in Muncie, Indiana, and our church is Liberty Baptist Church. We're just an independent King James Bible Church, and we make no apologies for that. But I always enjoy our time being spent with you, our friends. I hope that you'll join us at the next familiar opportunity. But until that time, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, saying, have a wonderful day, and may God bless you and each one.